current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon and welcome into Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, December 27th, 2019. Or it could be good morning or good evening, depending on when you're listening to this show on our podcast. Either way, we thank you for joining us along with Pastor Mark Kirk. I'm Greg Hilt, and this show is our 2019 year in review.
Yes.
This is our last show for the year. We will be back next year, next Friday. And who knows what the news will hold, but one thing that we do know is, as we've done this show for many years since, 2007, so, yeah. You know, it's, what is that, over 12 years now?
Yeah, long time.
Be over 12 years, I guess?
Yeah.
Going on 13. That God's Word is true, that He's been faithful to reveal the prophecies through the world's news.
Yeah.
Not always the way we thought he would.
That's right.
Or still is doing. But, you know, the more we understand God's prophecies and we study them, you know, it's kind of like, and you've used this analogy, Pastor Mark, regarding the Secret Service and how they detect counterfeit money.
Yeah.
They don't detect counterfeit money by studying counterfeit money. They are able to detect counterfeit money by studying the real thing.
That's right.
And they study it so closely that it's so easy for them to spot a fake because they know what the real thing looks like.
Yeah.
So the more time we spend understanding God's Word in its totality and pertinent to this show, understanding prophecy, then when we see things in the news, we're going to know, hey, that's prophetic.
Yeah.
Or, hey, that's just weird.
And sometimes,
or fun.
And sometimes you don't know why.
Yeah.
If they see the money, they don't know what's wrong with it. But the same thing, Greg, I'll see things, articles, stories, and I'll go, there's something wrong there. I don't know what it is yet, but something's wrong there.
Yeah, that's a good point. And maybe it takes time for God to give you that discernment or another news story to put it together, or you're going back to the scriptures and you're reading, and then God shows you something in the text, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what that is.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think I'll still look forward to today, just talking about the year kind of in review and looking at prophecy. And Greg, you know, we were talking right before the show, and I tell you, things, it seems like each year they move faster and faster, and I've just, it seems like everything is so ready to go. I know we've said this before, but there's only a few things holding back the onslaught of the enemy and the Antichrist. All it's going to take is a few events, a couple of elections, a few things. It's going to happen so quickly, and I'm watching everything fall into place, and it's almost like there's a whole new mindset. You know, I always thought, you know, the enemy has always tried, in every generation, he tries to get the youth, get them in the schools, train them up, and you get, you know, Hitler knew that. You get them as kids, train them the way you want them, and then when they get older, you can do with them as you want. And I've always thought, you know, America's been protected up to this point. We've always had enough people that knew the truth and weren't raised in the indoctrination that was entering in more and more in the public schools, getting worse and worse, that we kind of held constant. I think we're at the very end of holding on. This is like the last generation that's holding our nation in place. Because the more I talk to the next generation, and we'll get into that some today, even just these last couple of days, it's like almost like this, it's very bothersome in my spirit. But the more I see this next generation, they have been, they're gotten. He's gotten them. There's a mindset that's there. There's a massive amount of young people that are rising up that will take this nation over that have no idea about scripture. They don't know they're being used. They're so already twisted in their viewpoint of right and wrong and reality and what matters that even when you have to almost kind of unwind it before you can give them the scripture. Now, we don't have time for that. We have to just, teach the word of God. But it's amazing to me how twisted everything has become in what the enemy has been able to do in our public schools, in this next generation. And so when you see this whole thing, like now we've gotten this point to where even politically, you're seeing kind of the half and half right down the middle. It is trending where the conservative side or the Christian side is going to be overrun. It's going to be. And we're kind of at that last cusp holding on. I'm not trying to be discouraging. I don't want to be discouraging to anyone. I'm just speaking realistically. But to me, it's exciting. It's not discouraging. It's exciting. Here's why. Because I believe it lines up with what we're going to see happen right before the Lord comes back. Because America is being used to hold back the onslaught of the Antichrist. We're the major player being used to do that. So when America goes over that edge, the rest of the world is going to go over that edge, too, and then we see this process begin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we've talked about this before. Back in the 60s when we took the Bible and prayer to public schools, what's been replaced with it is the doctrine of evolution, which gets you to believe that there is no God, and there is no science behind it. You know, my challenge is still out there to, you know, get you some crude oil and see if there's any DNA in it.
Yeah.
Because that's not fossil fuel.
That's a great point.
It's not fossil fuel. So, but the problem is that, you know, what did Hitler say? Or was it Hitler? If you repeat the lie long enough, or was it Stalin or Lenin? It was one of those guys.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you repeat it long enough, people start to believe that it's true. And so the drumbeat of evolution, the drumbeat of climate change, which between climate change and I think probably soccer is how they're going to unite the world together. That's the one world sport. Anyway,
that's funny.
If you don't like soccer, but so those two things in evolution definitely being used to unite the world.
Yeah.
In maybe a subtle or not so subtle way.
Yeah.
But we can see those things just because the Bible tells us that there will be a uniting. So it's not that the Bible says that climate change will be used or evolution will be used. Those things are not necessarily mentioned per se.
Right.
But it's the fact that there are going to be efforts to unite the world. And the Bible says there will be a unity under governance, under religion, and under economy. And so you look for those telltale signs in the world's news that's being used to unite the world globally.
Absolutely.
And what did we talk about last week? They had the Global Citizen Award show on TV.
It's happening.
You're going to see more and more global type of programs like that.
I think the amazing thing to me, Greg, is that it's so normalized now. What you're talking about is normalized.
Yes.
I mean, we're not talking, look, it is, this globalization thing has happened so gradually that now it seems normal. Remember when 30 years ago, 20 years ago, this was not normal. It was being talked about 20 years ago in the governmental circles. It is normalized now. The Bible says the world will globalize. When we used to read that, we go, wow, when's that going to happen? Look at the prophecy. The world's going to globalize. We're all these individual nations. We have globalized. We are globalizing. The push right now in this election is to globalize. The opposition to President Trump and Brexit and Boris Johnson there in Europe and everything is to globalize. Don't you see? There's a push worldwide to globalize. And here's the scary thing. The world doesn't even see it's being manipulated into what the Bible says that Satan will push the world into in the last days. They think it's normal. They think the church is crazy. No, we're believing the Bible. The Bible said this would happen. We're trying to warn people. We're trying to wake people up. But the sad thing is they're not awake. And the sadder thing is, Greg, the church is asleep. This is what grieves me the most.
Yeah.
The church.
You know, we talked about this globalization and another prophecy that the Bible talks about that will happen in the latter days is the mystery of lawlessness.
Yes, yes,
and lawlessness is intertwined in the global movement. How, you might ask? Well, I will use immigration as a prime example. We have laws in this country regarding immigration. Are they good laws? Are they cumbersome laws? Do they need to be more efficient? Okay, yeah, but we can table that for another discussion. But what we've seen over the last several years is the push to just basically ignore those laws altogether for the championship of inclusion, for the championship of, you know, putting these people in our country, but not assimilating them in such a way that benefits the economy, because that's how our country functions, is that everyone contributes, the taxes, the whole nine yards, as far as the economic structure of our country, which is being bypassed just to blend the world more together. And therein lies the mystery of that lawlessness. The laws are being ignored when it's advantageous for prophetic movements such as this.
Yeah, it's amazing you said that, Greg, because that's even one of the first things I want to touch on. But it says in Matthew 24:12, because the love of many will grow cold, lawlessness will abound. So you're going to see an increasing of lawlessness. And let me show you how quickly. Now, this article, the first one I want to talk about here is going to be obvious, but I want to show a more subtle way. Before I read this about protests rage around the world, just give a couple of points. I want you to realize right now, listeners, realize how much lawlessness is happening right now gradually that you don't even realize. I'm going to give you a couple real quick. Lawlessness, and that is the Constitution used to be revered as the law of the land. It is regularly ignored and regularly broken now. And this is just, it's just normal. It's so normal. I'll give you one example. We talk about what's happening. Maybe you've heard about what's happening in Virginia and this new governor, not new governor, but Governor Northam, who's bringing in new laws as of January 1st. In Virginia, he's going to start like outlawing, he's going to basically go against the Second Amendment. And rather than the argument being, this guy's going against the Second Amendment, this is not a gun argument here. I'm making a point about
just about the law
doesn't matter.
Yes.
Rather than making that argument saying, the Bible says you shall not infringe on the rights, that's the law of the land. He's saying that if you don't register your guns as of January 1st, they'll put you in jail. And he just readjusted the budget so they can put more people in jail and pay for them. And the new budget for the jail for people that won't do this kicks in January 1st when the new law kicks in. So he is planning to arrest people starting January 1st who won't register their guns. It's not about guns. Listen to me. We'll move to another subject. The bottom line is, the Bible says you shall not infringe on the rights, Second Amendment. He's basically saying, who cares what the law says? Lawlessness will abound. We look at what's going on right now in Washington. It's easy to pick on politics because it's so visible as to what's going on in Washington right now. But the laws are being completely ignored. The Bible of America, the Constitution says that this whole crazy thing that's happened here with the impeachment, the Congress has the sole authority to decide how the impeachment articles are drawn up. And the Senate has the entire sole authority, it says, to determine what happens at the trial. And, you know, the Congress has no authority there. And the Senate has no authority in the Congress on these issues. And yet now that the Congress is done and it's moving, no matter where you stand on the issue, I'm pointing out the lawlessness, they're holding up. They're not turning the articles over so that the Senate can settle it because they want power in it when the law clearly says they have no power in it. I guess the thing that's shocking, I'll give you another one, surveillance of Americans. Right now, the FBI has been caught spying on all these people and wiretapping, getting these FISA things. I know this all has to do with politics, but it's the best way I can show you what's happening with lawlessness, because our nation used to set the standard for obeying the law. Rather than people saying, oh my goodness, they just went and spied on Americans. This is like search and seizure laws, but they searched. There wasn't any seizure, some seizure with some of the guys they arrested. I think Roger Stone and others, these guys in this whole situation. But what they're doing is, Greg, these are things that the Constitution forbids. America in the past, all these guys would have been gathered up and thrown in jail. All of them. The governor of Virginia, he'd be shut down before January 1st even came. Those who did these FISA reports, they'd been shut down and thrown in jail immediately. This is stuff that, but now it's like you're not hearing the argument of going, why are we breaking the law? Why are we breaking the law? What you're hearing is that, well, it's Republican against Democrat. It's left against right. Who's going to win? I'm like, everybody's missing the point.
That's a red herring.
It's not about Republican or Democrat. It's about the laws of the land. And you're seeing this all over the world. Lawlessness is abounding. I've got an article, Greg, here, right here. This is from The Guardian. And it says, protests rage around the world, but what comes next? And I can't read all this, but it's just an article talking about protest and anarchy and lawlessness around the world. And this whole article lists all these different countries and nations that all these things are happening. It talks about Iran, Hong Kong,
France,
America, with what's going on with us, the Antifa, and all these things that are happening. And this is just, it's happened so gradually and is so expansive, which is what we look for in prophecy, that people are just, they're not recognizing it. It's so in our face, we're not seeing. Lawlessness is, it has begun abounding. It will continue to abound. Nobody seems to care what the law says anymore. It doesn't matter. You just do whatever you want to do. And it's working toward this world anarchy until the Antichrist comes in and turns it into complete anarchy.
Well, and here's another aspect that's come into our lives that is going to be used in the end times, and that's technology.
Yeah.
You know, I do not have a Ring doorbell system, but right. I've got the neighborhood app
right.
that I signed up for.
Oh,
and
really?
So if someone posts a video from their Ring system, like somebody stole something off my porch or whatever, I get those videos. Well, what's interesting is that the proliferation, just from a prophetic standpoint, the proliferation of cameras, audio listening devices, which right. a lot of these times are built into these doorbell things with the video and the audio. You can talk to the person through your doorbell thing.
Right.
But, you know, you're talking about laws and privacy and search and seizure and stuff like that. But at the same time, there's this tide of technological pervasiveness that's in most people's lives, whether it's through your smart TV, whether it's through your smartphone, whether it's through your computer, whether it's through your smart watch, whatever the case may be, in and of themselves, some really cool tech things. But from a prophetic standpoint, all of those things are becoming very networked together, very synergistic, so to speak.
Yeah.
And all of that will be used in from a surveillance standpoint where you're talking about searching, seizing, keeping an eye on the people. All of that will definitely be used when the Antichrist comes on the scene as the one world leader. And
Absolutely.
That's how he's going to control the people. So, you know, we don't say that to scare people away from technology because we don't have to, as Christians, we don't have to be afraid. We're just kind of showing you how things are being used or will be used one day when these prophecies come to their fulfillment.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be afraid. You're right. No. Not only would it have to be, we shouldn't be. But again, we talk about Greg, you're talking about Revelation 13, verse 16, where it says he causes all, this is the Antichrist and the false prophet, all both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of his beast and the number of his name. So basically, he's going to use technology, some type of computer chip, no doubt, some type of technology to monitor mankind and to keep up with mankind. So let's talk for a moment about technology, because it also talks about in the last days, technology will increase. And God held technology back, the Bible says, on purpose, so that man couldn't destroy himself.
Because he would do it really quick,
and
wouldn't he?
In Matthew 24, he said that if he didn't intervene, even the elect, he said if he didn't intervene, he said
everyone would have been.
He said all flesh would perish. So he's talking about technological advancements, weaponry, we would all die. So God has supernaturally held back, if you will, and he's holding back now, even as he's holding back now the Antichrist, he's held back technology. And he's keeping technology at a certain rate that we can't destroy ourselves until God finishes this whole end times process. But the Bible predicted this as well. In Daniel chapter 12, it says this, speaking about the last days and talking about what's going to be happening in the last days. He says that, again, and I grabbed it real quick here without finding the verse in time. It talks about knowledge will increase. You know, men will travel, it says, to and fro, and knowledge will increase. And so he's basically saying here in this chapter, men traveling to and fro, we're seeing that now with the travel of airplanes. You know, men have always traveled, but he's talking about an increase in ability, which we see with airlines and all that stuff. But also technology increasing, that's part of this whole process of technology. Yeah. And you know, even with just, you know, the basics, you know, like the new iPhone now, you know, and the face recognition and all these things. And I mean, somebody tried to comfort me the other day and said, now, you know, Apple doesn't share that. I know that right now, right now, end quote, Apple doesn't share that. But here's what I also know. Apple has my face ID. They may not share it right now. They're protecting rights. I get that. But if you've got anything that recognizes your face and does that technology, the government has access to that. And the Antichrist will get access to that. Don't think just because you have a phone carrier that protects your privacy. And by the way, I think Apple does the best job on doing that.
Put your face on Facebook and they've already got it. Or on Instagram
most
or on Twitter.
Most people already do. If you do Facebook, they've already got everything they need. But again, with the new face recognition and the way technology is going, everything's going to be that way. And yes, it is extremely convenient. It's just, you know, to be able to do that and not have to worry about, you know, even your thumbprint or even codes or whatever, just looking at it and it's a done deal. It's nice. But don't think that this technology is not going to be used against you, because the Antichrist will mark everyone. He will monitor everyone. Yeah. He will control the entire world. And his goal is to get the whole world globalized under his authority and worshiping him. And that's going to happen. And technology is a big part of it.
Well, and let's talk about that. And this is just Greg talking. This is not a thus saith the Lord thing. But when you look at the technology of 5G cellular, before up to 5G, that was, it's really you know, devoted towards your phones and your iPads and computers that might have a cellular radio
right.
in them, okay? But 5G brings a whole new level of sophistication and capability to talk to smaller devices.
Right.
The Internet of Things is also what it's termed. So, and again, I'm just hypothesizing here because 5G has a broader reach than like Wi-Fi does.
Okay.
Or Bluetooth, which is limited like to 30 feet. And so 5G cellular can go farther.
Okay.
So if 5G cellular can go farther and it can talk to smaller devices that don't necessarily need the type of cellular radio that currently exists, well, what things can they talk to? Can they talk to your smart home devices? Can they talk to tiny things? Can they talk to little chips?
Yeah.
Maybe little chips that are embedded in your right hand or your forehead.
Yeah.
So I think that, and I'm not going to say that 5G is what the Antichrist is going to use, but I'm illustrating how the advancement of the technology and the types of things that the technology from a wireless standpoint can talk to and interact with
yeah.
is getting down to a very granular thing,
yeah.
not things like cell phones. I mean, I remember when cell phone first came out and you had it installed in your car. Good grief, you had to have a bag in your trunk,
yeah.
you know, because the thing was so big
right.
with an antenna. And now, look at what can talk to the
it's amazing
to the cell towers.
Yeah, it really
and so,
is.
So anyway, so just keep your eyes on 5G and the Internet of Things and the things it's able to interact with and the products that are going to come out as a result of 5G technology beyond just having a cell phone that can do 5G and the speed. That's the other thing. When you look at autonomous vehicles, that's another thing that 5G will take advantage of
yeah.
is that autonomous vehicle, you know, whole technology thing.
Yeah.
5G is a part of that solution, really maturing that technology where it becomes more mainstream or more accepted. So,
well, we talk about the gradual takeover in all these areas, Greg. Here's another one. As you talk about the smart homes and that technology, I mean, this is something many people, they know, but they don't seem to care in that with this smart home technology, like you're talking about, and things working better in the home and this kind of stuff, and really taking that technology into the home as far as smart home, you know, Satan is so wise because now what he's done and really what the government is able to do, it's not just track you with satellite spying satellite things or whatever the case
it's
might
be. It's controlling you.
First it went to the phones and they can listen on the phone now. They let you know that. I mean, that's out. It's kind of out. If they want to, they can listen to your phone. That's kind of normal technology knowledge. That's not anything hidden anymore. But now it's in our homes. Usually you go to your home, you're safe. No, you've got it there in your Sonos system. You've got mm-hmm. it there in your smart home system.
Yeah.
And they're listening in, and I see articles. We've never shared these articles on the show, but I've had articles here from Fox News and other places where they literally now have recorded, because these guys are perverted, they've recorded, you know, privacy times in the bedroom and stuff from the Sonos, you know, speakers that are in there and from phones or whatever, and they have that, these recordings. Apparently Apple or whoever, I forget it was, they said had those. The bottom line is, even in your home, there's no privacy. If they want to know what you're doing and hear what you're saying, they will know what you're doing and hear what you're saying. There's an advantage to being older and not keeping up with all the technology. Someone, for example, like I keep up with technology to a degree. I do. I like the technology. For example, though, I've never had Facebook. So that's an area they can't trace me or track me. And I didn't do that because of, you know, the government. I never had it. I don't have the smart home stuff. So they, you know, can't really track me there, this kind of stuff. So that's just being older and not being into it. But most people do. And the new generation does. And the amazing thing is not only, Greg, they can do it, which goes back to this whole Antichrist control in the last days, but they don't care. The people don't care. They would rather say, go ahead. I don't care. This is too cool. I don't care. Just it's normal. It's normal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's not just that, too. It's the, and I don't know what the word I'm looking for, Pastor Mark, but, you know, when you and I went to school.
You went to school?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Believe it or not, I actually did.
No, I didn't. That's why I wasn't picking on you.
Okay. when we had to study, we had to read textbooks.
Yeah.
We had to write notes from the textbooks and put papers together. And if we wanted to understand something, usually the big thing in your house, which was the old school Google, yeah. was an encyclopedia.
Right.
That was the forerunner to Google.
The massive
engines,
volumes.
The massive volumes of encyclopedias
yeah.
in libraries and things like that. And you had to work at getting the answers. You had to work for the answers, whether it was mathematics, whether it was understanding science, literature, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Now, I can literally just talk to my phone and say, Siri, what's 49 divided by 12? And she gives you the answer. Or, you know, where is the whatever? Or what is the origin of whatever? And the information is there. Now, is the information accurate? Is it right? I can't speak to that.
Right.
But I'm speaking to the dumbing down of working for something.
Yeah.
The instantaneous, you know, response to information.
Well, and also you got to remember, with all those Google searches and all this information searching, Greg, all that is forever recorded.
Right.
So this adds another level. You bring up another point of a level of control here through technologically. When the Antichrist takes over, he's going to be able to run a program, a computer search, and categorize everyone.
Called
and put
an algorithm.
Them all in groups immediately. Who are all those that believe the Bible? Who are all those that, you know, who are all those that believe this? Who are all those that are Christians? Who are all those that are not? Because he can check all the searches, all the things that have been done, and the computer does it all. He can quarantine off certain areas, certain groups of people. He could send people out to gather up groups of people and bring them in. Listen, it's going to happen so fast. The information is sitting there. Once it's out there, you can't get rid of it. All it's going to be right now, you have these certain laws, and I put that in quotes, protecting anyone from getting it. But as we saw, those laws are really very flimsy with all this stuff now going on in the government, with the courts saying they can spy on people with no reason and all this kind of stuff. So all that's going to be gone, especially as lawlessness abounds, and the world's going to be overrun and controlled. Now, let me encourage you, although all this is true, the bottom line is this is something to rejoice about as the believer. We need to be sharing the gospel as much as possible, Jesus and his love and his hope, but not to be afraid. This is good news for us in this. It's not good news that the enemy's advancing. It's good news that we're getting close to the end of this era, and the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ is upon us. I mean, I think we're very close. And
Once the world gets through a really bad 7 years.
Yes, it is. It's going to be a very bad 7 years. I mean, even the world realizes there's issues. You know, Greg, I know it's for political reasons, but we talked last week about the starting in 2020. They believe there's going to be 12 more years before the earth is white.
We talked
I heard
about
that again
that.
Today on
today.
The news. Starting at 2020, they're counting 12 years down. If you go 12 years in 2020.
2032.
I know, it's just too weird. We're going to go back into all that. But the world certainly couldn't know that. But the enemy, I think, does have some idea that we're winding things down. And so you're going to see some, I think we're very close to the end. I think we're very close to winding this whole era up and getting ready for the Lord. So as we cover the rest of these things, we'll cover today. And I can already tell because of the discussion in the first half, got to be a little bit more shotgun in the second to get the information in that I want to.
Yeah, that's fine.
But the bottom line is that, you know, rejoice. Now, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that you will know of them before they come to pass. When they come to pass, you'll know that it's me. So the bottom line is, he told us this is going to happen. So when we read these things, what we've talked about the first half, what we'll be talking about the second half, this is reason to rejoice, not reason to panic, unless you love this world and put your treasure in this world. If you do, it's time to let that go. Put your treasure in heaven, treasure in the Lord. Let this stuff go and rejoice. He is just about to come back.
Yeah, you know, when we look at these stories too, also, Pastor Mark, we've got to keep in mind the what's playing out with Satan and understanding that Satan is the great imitator. And so Satan is using the technology because it's the one thing that he can't do that God can through his Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Through his Holy Spirit, he can network his people. And so Satan is going to use the technology to network his people.
That's right.
And so
right.
That's really what the end game is. It's a spiritual battle. At the end of the day, what we're talking about here are spiritual battles in heavenly places that are playing out on the world stage.
Yeah.
But we've got to have the spiritual glasses to see these things so we don't have fear and panic.
Yeah.
But we have hope, and that we can trust what God's word says so we can share God's word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We've got lots more to talk about as our year in review continues here on Signs of the Times, but right now it's Israel in the news.
WIAM LP
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
From the headquarters of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews in Jerusalem, this is Israel in the News. I'm Bob Sauer. A rocket attack in southern Israel on Wednesday forces Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu to seek shelter. Fox's Trey Yingst has the story.
One rocket fired from the Gaza Strip into southern Israel. The Israelis are responding with airstrikes inside the Gaza Strip against factions there. Multiple militant training sites were hit with these strikes, we are told. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was rushed off the stage to a bomb shelter for the second time this year after the rocket targeted the city of Ashkelon that he was campaigning in. Netanyahu told attendees the last person to shoot at him is now, quote, gone. He was referring earlier to that person, Baha Abu al-Atta, a Palestinian Islamic Jihad militant who was assassinated by Israel last month following orders that he gave to fire rockets towards Israel and Netanyahu in September.
Netanyahu was at a campaign event in order to gain supporters prior to the Likud party vote that took place on Thursday. The rocket launched into Israel was intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome air defense system. A man wearing a kippah, the traditional religious head cap worn by Jewish men, was assaulted and beaten by a group of teenagers in the New York Jewish neighborhood of Crown Heights on Tuesday. According to Jewish news source The Allgemeiner, the suspects filmed the beating for fun before fleeing the scene. The Anti-Defamation League announced on Wednesday that it's offering a reward of up to $10,000 for information leading to the arrest of the suspects. The Trump administration maintaining its pressure campaign against Iran with more sanctions. Fox's Gernal Scott with more.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced the new penalties on Iran before an audience at the State Department.
We're restricting visas for current or former Iranian officials and individuals responsible for or complicit in the abuse, detention, or killing of peaceful protesters.
The sanctions target judges who Pompeo says have unjustly sentenced political prisoners. Pompeo has labeled Iran a country of concern. The actions being taken, he hopes, will demonstrate a truth to the Iranian people. Estimates are more than 300 have been killed in Iranian protests.
The Times of Israel reports that the Jewish state has a new way to eliminate airborne incendiary devices launched from the Gaza Strip. The new laser system, called Lightblade, can shoot threats out of the sky before they even enter Israeli territory. Israeli firefighters have had to battle thousands of fires since last year, many of them started by these incendiary balloons. This has been Israel in the News, a weekly news summary presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. During this season of giving, find out how you can help the poor by visiting israelinthenews.org. That's israelinthenews.org. I'm Bob Sauer.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news, Friday, December 27th, 2019. This is, what is this? Episode 105 for the podcast, and it's our last episode of 2019. I really don't know how many more episodes we're going to have.
Yeah, maybe our last ever.
That would be
the
nice.
Lord comes back. Wouldn't
that
be great?
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, and that's another thing, too. And as a pastor, maybe you can speak to this. If you talk to someone about the rapture or any of those things, and the response is not one of joy.
Right.
Maybe it's one of dread.
Right.
Is that kind of like a spiritual barometer? I'm speaking of Christians, because a non-believer might not even believe in the rapture or anything like that, so that's really not going to count. But yeah. I'm just talking in the Christian circle.
I think it is, obviously. I mean, if you're wanting the Lord to come back, you've got the right heart and the right mindset because you understand it's going to be better. I think it's when you don't really have that understanding, you hate to lose what you have here. I will say this.
Your life's not where it needs to be.
That's right. I will say this. For the younger crowd, I can see some things that could be like, well, I wonder what it'd be like to get married. I wonder what it'd be like to have kids.
Oh, yeah.
I can see some of that without it being necessarily, okay, you're kind of out there spiritually. Mm-hmm. But even then, there should be a desire for the Lord to come back. And you're right. If there's not that desire, there's probably something that's not really right in the heart. Absolutely.
Well, the only reason I bring that up is because somebody could be listening, and we've been talking about all of this stuff, and maybe there's some trepidation there. And it's just always good, you know, the Bible says to examine yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. Yeah. So, you know, take those things to the Lord. If that's bothering you, maybe there's something that God's using through this program to get your attention with that he wants to take care of in your
life.
And
really having an understanding that it's so much better with the Lord. It's going to be so much better in the kingdom.
Absolutely.
Now, let me jump right into the next subject, Greg, because again, we have quite a bit of territory to cover. And that first half went so fast. You know, one of the areas I brought up in the first half was is this new generation has been so indoctrinated with the climate stuff. And I'm not saying that there's not real issues where the temperatures change. Look, and we know historically, we can't go back that far, really, in weather history. But climates change. They change. They get hotter, they get colder, they get hotter, they get colder. Are we now on a path to get hotter and continue to get hotter? Only God knows that. But that's not the issue. I know scripturally the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that the Lord will hold all things together. He holds all things together. And this is interesting, Greg. The Lord gave a promise right after the flood when Noah came out the flood. He said, as long as there's seed time and harvest, winter and summer, cold and heat, he says, these things will all remain until the earth is destroyed. In other words, he promised he's going to hold all things together. We don't have to worry about the environment. And there's so many people that are so worried about the environment. This is something I see that I've been noticing the last few days in the next generation that concerns me some. And that is, they're so focused on the environment, they're totally missing God and the Bible. And the enemy has been able to get them so focused in, Greg, on all these environmental issues that they're, you know, whatever you give the most time to is what you're worshiping. They're in essence starting to worship the environment because they're giving it all their time rather than worshiping God. And Romans 1, I know you're dying to say something, but let me say this first. Listen to what it says in Romans 1. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and here it is, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. In other words, they began to worship nature rather than God as they turned away from God. That's what we're fighting in this next generation, whether they realize it or not.
Well, and we're also fighting, 40, 50, 60 years of evolutional teaching in our school system, and the whole creation story not even available to the mass of public school students.
Yeah.
And what the Bible says God did in 6 days versus what the school system is telling them is that you evolved from a pile of goo.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, that's essentially it. And so these people are owning that as if it's true. And so the fear that these kids have for this stuff. Now, the Bible says that every man's without excuse. God has revealed himself in nature, regardless of what they've been taught in the school system. So that's not going to be an excuse when you stand before the Lord.
Yeah.
But it explains the current mindset, and it's even more pronounced because the society continues to reject God and God's teachings.
Yeah. Well, and again, you know, you talk about how blinded this generation is through that kind of mindset and that kind of thinking and the nature stuff and all, that literally we are, and people have heard this so much, I don't know that they really grasp it. We're literally tearing babies apart in the mother's wombs. I mean, they're now releasing videos of it to try to make a point, which I think is good, although it's horrid. They're showing these babies being ripped apart through abortion by these suction machines and all this. And yet, listen to this article, Greg, and this just shows where the mindset. One of my points, I want to show the mindset of this next generation. Animal rights protesters hold funeral for turkeys killed for Christmas dinner.
But yet abortion's okay.
They're having funerals for turkeys, for birds, and yet they're saying you can kill our children. I mean, what's happening is that Romans chapter 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're worshiping the creature rather than the creator. And this is, again, something we're going to be seeing. At the same time, you're seeing that the world now is becoming more and more, the church is losing its saltiness. The church is losing its strength. You know, the Bible says there'll be a falling away,
well,
Greg, in the last days.
Let's talk about apostasy, because been huge.
Listen to this apostasy. Now, I know that for Christians, we don't look to the Pope or the Catholic Church, but the world looks to the Pope and the Catholic Church as kind of the picture, the barometer, the whatever you want to call it for the world.
A representation of religion in the world.
There you go. A plumb line for the world's religion. There you go. That kind of sums it up. But listen, and rather than, here's what's happened. Rather than the church becoming like the world, we are supposed to say, no, here's where the church stands. We stand on the word of God. The world has to become like the church. We don't adapt to the world. They adapt to God. But listen to this about this current pope, and this guy, he's been one of the largest false prophets, Greg, of all the popes I've seen in a long time. But listen, this is the article. Pope Francis warns of the rigidity of the church in holding its position, basically, on what they're saying in Scripture, to adapt. And if they don't adapt, they're becoming increasingly irrelevant. Just a little bit of this. In his Saturday message from the Vatican, he took aim at conservative Catholics, warning that rigidity in living out the Christian faith was turning people away. In other words, if you won't compromise the Word of God, if you won't compromise what the Bible says, you're not going to be able to reach the world. That's nonsense. The church never is to compromise. Jesus never compromised. What they're saying is, if the church doesn't become more like the world, the church won't be effective. No, it's the opposite. The church is losing its effectiveness. We are losing our saltiness because we're not standing on the Word of God. Just amazing to see this whole turnaround. And one other, just to mention of this, because this article was right after it. Mm-hmm. By the way, that was from Fox News.
Okay.
And this article's from Breitbart.com. German bishops pronounce homosexuality normal and unchangeable. So you've got an article here where the Pope is saying, we've got to change what the Bible says so we can be more like the world, or we can't, or we're losing our relevance. And then right after it, you're seeing the German bishops doing that very thing, saying, you know what, although the Bible condemns these behaviors, we're going to say that these behaviors are okay. And so this is where this whole, world system comes into play. You know, I thought I had the article here with me, Greg, but I don't think I do, where the Pope said, he himself said what the world needs is one world political leader and a one world spiritual leader. The Pope said that. I've got to find that article.
No. Without a doubt, yeah.
The bottom line is that, again, that's exactly what the Bible says. The Antichrist and the false prophet. The Pope is now coming out and saying, that's what the world needs, and we've got to become more like the world and less like the Bible. This is right. I mean, it's happening before our very eyes.
In the first half, we talked about how we would see things in the news, and you said that sometimes you would see something in the news, you'd get a check in your spirit, and you wouldn't know why.
Right.
Well, several years ago, when Pope Benedict announced that he was going to step down from the papacy.
Right, which was weird. Wasn't that weird?
Okay.
That was weird.
That was a check in the spirit. That was a check in the spirit. And then when Pope Francis came on, and we remained relatively silent on this program about Pope Francis.
Right.
But as the news stories have continued over the years, his position has become clearer and clearer, where I think that we can say fairly safely that what happened when Benedict stepped down was a supernatural event to install what the Bible talks about is the false prophet. Who is the false prophet? He's like the imitator of John the Baptist.
Yes.
As John the Baptist pointed the way to Jesus Christ, the false prophet, the Bible says, is going to point people to the one world leader. This guy's got all our answers. So what Pope Francis is doing is he's preparing the way for the false leader by saying, we need to be united.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and here's the guy to unite us.
And Greg, you know what? You got to hear this. I thought I'd printed it up, but I found it because I've got a list of our readers. This is from the Huffington Post.
Okay.
Huffington Post, again, a reputed.
It's just another news source.
Yeah, like Fox. Yeah. But it's a good one. I mean, this is not like just, you know, whatever. But listen to what it says. Listen, this is not a Christian magazine, all right? We're talking just article.
Huffington Post is a secular source.
Pope Francis wants to be president of the world. That's the headline. But listen to what this says. Shrewdly and methodically and with a showman's flair, the soft-spoken 78-year-old Pope Francis showed Thursday he's running to be president of the planet. He did so in a congressional ceremony of secular civic pomp in a massive legislative building that, after all, harks back to ancient Rome. As devout as he is, and is focused on the faith and practice of the Catholic Church. Francis is also campaigning to lead public, secular, political discourse worldwide. He's arguing that the two realms, get this, listen to what he's saying. Everybody listen to me. The Bible says there'll be an Antichrist political leader.
Yes.
There'll be a false prophet spiritual leader in the last days, ruling the entire world.
Yes.
Listen to what he said. Here's what he's campaigning. He's arguing that the two realms, faith and political, are one, and that the moral and spiritual teachings of faith should inform and guide political decisions for our common home. In other words, we need a political world leader and we need a spiritual world leader. That is exactly what the Bible says will happen. And it would appear from Scripture that the spiritual world leader will be a pope. So you've got the very thing. This is, he has no idea, the spirit of Antichrist speaking through him right here, saying the very thing that God says will happen in the book of Revelation in the last days. Greg, we're talking about it. It's happening in front of us. I don't know how to keep emphasizing that.
Well, and I agree with what he said, to the point that our faith does play out in our politics.
Absolutely.
I really believe that. And I think more and more we're seeing that.
Yep.
More and more that, you know, the fence is being removed.
Yeah.
You can't sit on the fence anymore.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get on one side or the other.
That's right.
Pope Francis is making it very clear. And by the way, and we're not picking on the Catholic religion. It's just that the Catholic religion is the only global religion in world.
That's right.
That has a universally recognized leader of that religion.
Yes.
Across the board.
You're right. You're right.
In all the other religions, you might have different prominent people or kind of, you know, influencers. Like in Christianity, we could say it was Billy Graham or,
right,
you know, whatever. But that wasn't like the consensus, and it wasn't like it's a denominational structure where we all came under like Billy Graham.
Yeah.
The Catholic Church, far, far different.
Yeah.
There is a legal structure to the church and a hierarchy to it and a leader of it, and that is the Pope.
Right. And again, that brings us to another quick thing I want to touch on, Greg, and that is we talk about on a regular basis the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, because what is holding back there being a one-world spiritual leader and a one-world political leader is the unification and globalization of the world. We talked about America being used, Britain being used, holding that back. That goes back to the 10 toes and all that, and we may get to that.
And
we
Daniel,
may not today, because
yeah,
we talked about it last week. But the bottom line is that what's in the way is the Muslim community. You talked about Islam and all this. The Islamic community and Russia and China, some of these major players, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, all that will be dealt with. Russia and the major Islamic nation players will be annihilated, you know, the majority of their armies destroyed in that battle. And that's going to pave the way for this one world political leader and this one world spiritual leader. And so the things that are holding it back are done. And of course, at some point in there, America is going to be dealt with as well, and Britain. So how that's going to happen, I don't know. But you can see how once it falls, it's going to just go. And so, you know, I guess this is the most open, Greg, I've seen it being talked about in regular news stories. We've read these kind of things for years.
Yeah.
We've heard what has been said behind closed doors that the Pope said and what other people said.
Right.
And we brought
yeah
them to our listeners.
Yes.
But this is the Huffington Post. This is Fox News. This is, the world is in tune, and we've gotten so used to it, nobody's freaking out about it. You know, another one of the major issues is going to be anti-Semitism in the last days. So I want to kind of touch on a couple things real quick here, because I've got to kind of punch through a list here kind of quick. But again, it's interesting. You just saw what happened. Speaking of Brexit, you saw what happened there in Britain with the new leader they have there, the conservative leader, political leader, a populist leader, kind of like President Trump here when Boris Johnson was elected. And now they're doing the Brexit, and Britain's going to pull out of this European Union. We know they're going to be forced back into it, because Daniel tells us the toe's made of iron and clay. They're not going to adhere together, but they're going to be forced back together at some point there in Europe. But listen to this article, because, you know, maybe you noticed all the attacks here that happened during Hanukkah. This past week there in New York City, there have been multiple attacks against Jews right during their Jewish holidays. At the same time, this article here, anti-Semitism and Brexit shatter Corbyn's dreams of global far-left revolution. Again, because the left is more anti-Semitic, and this Corbyn was very anti-Semitic, and the people there in Britain, the conservative, those that support the Jews, rose up and stopped him from being elected, but it was led in part by anti-Semitism. Now, that's interesting because the Bible says in the last days there'll be more and more hatred of Jews and anti-Semitism. Listen to this article. At the same time that there's more and more hatred, you're watching God protect them. Trump to sign executive order against anti-Semitism. He did this already. This came from the ChristianHeadlines.com, but he signed this thing that said you can't support these boycotts of Israel in America anymore, and if you do, it's anti-Semitic. And many of our campuses across America, where a lot of the activism takes place, they're supporting these boycotts, so now they're being called on the carpet. So at the same time you're seeing anti-Semitism increase, again, it's being held back by America, the Holy Spirit, not America really, God, using America to hold it back, but you're seeing this increase in anti-Semitism. With anti-Semitism, you're also going to see the Jews driven back to Israel, which is another end times prophecy that the Jews will be driven back. We've been watching them come back in droves since 1948 when they declared themselves a nation. But now there's so many back and they're being driven back that they're wanting to pray on the Temple Mount again. They're wanting to get back to their traditions. And we already talked a couple of weeks ago about the Jewish prayer returning to the Temple Mount. The Jerusalem Post here have an article talking about, again, the prayer coming back to the Temple Mount. So you're going to see, again, the Jews driven back, more things happening with Israel that God said was going to happen. That's going to make Satan matter and the stir of this spirit of Antichrist matter and all these, end times prophecy just escalating. So this is the stuff to be watching for. Now, I know I'm kind of going quick, but again, I want to kind of just go down this punch list and then we can talk about some of these things in more detail. But some of the things, we've seen a rise in the world religion. We talked about that. The Pope has been pushing very, very frantically. That's another end times prophecy to bring all the religions together. He's saying, let's tear down the walls of individualism and let's all unite. And there, again, even the church, even the Pope, Greg, is using climate change to say, if we don't unite, the world's going to be destroyed.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
So you're seeing this whole push.
Yes.
And again, remember, it's Romans 1, turn away from God, worship nature.
Yes.
The issue is not, is it true or not? The issue is it's being used by the enemy to unite the world. And I remind our listeners again, God will hold this planet together for his purposes. You don't have to freak out. So it's going to be, again.
Well, and when the planet is destroyed, Pastor Mark, it's going to be at the hands of God.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's the thing that's, I think, tough for some to hear. And that is the Bible
says,
it's
per his word.
Yeah, the environment will be destroyed, but it's not going to be a man doing it. The Bible says in Revelation, God is going to be doing it. You know, this whole thing, you talk about worship of nature. Remember Greta Thunberg, this teenager, Greg, that they're using to be kind of the poster child.
She's face of it. Yeah,
Was she Time Magazine's Person of the Year,
yes,
or whatever?
Yeah.
The Church of Sweden proclaimed her to be this and I quote,
oh,
this again from the AP,
okay,
the successor of Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear.
That's the Church of Sweden. Now, you talk about replacing God with worship of nature. She's the successor of Jesus Christ. The Church of Sweden is saying, and I know not everybody agrees with that, and not everybody goes along with that, but isn't that amazing that they would even make such a statement? It shows you where we're going. Now, we talk about also in the last days, wickedness will be on the rise. Evil will become more prominent. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but I want to point it out because this right here, the Children's Book of Demons, somebody wrote in and asked about this. This is being sold by Walmart, Amazon, Target, Barnes & Noble, and others. It's called the Children's Book of Demons, and it's how to summon the demonic realm. Now, who would believe that would even be a book that's out there? It's literally a book you can order online that people are ordering. The Bible says you'll see that kind of wickedness increasing openly as we get toward the end. Now, again, you say it shocks you, but that's where we are. The mocking and scoffing of truth, again, that's been going on for a long time.
That's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, but that's getting,
that's growing.
It's getting worse and worse. What's happening in the Middle East? We know the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39 is building up with Russia and Iran and all this happening. Anytime that could blow. I mean, that's just kind of sitting there waiting on the wings to go. And really, this is the other thing, Greg, and we've already talked about this, but this whole globalism push is so magnified right now and is so accepted that it's almost like if we're not globalistic, we're something wrong with us. This is a new concept within this new generation. We didn't have the globalists talking about this out in the open. They've been talking about it for a long time since the 1900s, but not out in the open.
I think for me that the pivotal prophetic event that is the dam holding back all these other things that we're talking about,
right,
is got to be Ezekiel 38 and 39.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be so catastrophic that the Bible depicts
that it's not only going to remove away the resistance of either side,
right?
The camps that are really entrenched.
Yeah.
But that's going to, and I shouldn't say that alone. I would say Ezekiel coupled with the rapture, because the Bible gives us the indication that both of those events are going to either happen simultaneously or happen very close to one another.
I think they're going to be close together.
Either way, those two are kind of like they're in tandem.
Yeah.
In terms of being the dam that's holding back all these other
really
things
is.
That are building up
it really
pressure.
Is. It really is. No, I mean, we touched on this a minute ago, Greg. I was talking about, you look at right now, Russia is like a world sore spot, and Islam, you know, with Islam right now, the way it is, you couldn't have a globalization of the world together. They're not going to go with that. They're just not. Some of them will, like Saudi Arabia and others that have become more open to it. But I'm talking about the radical Muslims.
Yeah.
Something's got to happen, Greg, to rid the world of the larger portion of the radical Muslims. And I believe that's what the Bible indicates in Ezekiel 38 and 39, is the radicals are going to gather against Israel, and God's going to wipe out 4/5 of their army. The bottom line is you're going to see a real drop in radical Islam for a short period of time until it can build back up, but long enough for the Antichrist to come on the scene and bring world peace and globalization. So you're right. They're in the way. They're holding things back, but God's using it till his time.
Yeah, and once it happens, then there's going to be no really resistance to speak up against, you know, the people that are going to say, okay, now, have we got your attention?
Yeah.
And at that point, then I believe that not that the Antichrist won't be on the scene, he probably could be, but if he is, he'll step into that role. If not, he'll reveal himself as the one that will have the answers, and kind of like, hey, I need your attention for a minute. Yeah. Let's talk. Yeah. And he will become recognized as that one world leader, I believe, in part through the subsequent events from Ezekiel 38 and 39 and the rapture, because the rapture itself is going to be catastrophic in the event of the immediate disappearance of millions of people around the world.
Yeah.
The world is going to be shaken to its core at that point.
Yeah.
And it's going to need someone to unite them.
And think about the lie they're going to believe and the spiritism the world's getting involved in, Greg. Once the church is gone, everybody's going to believe the spiritism all the more.
Yes.
So the fact we disappeared, there'll be some
aliens.
Spiritualization.
Aliens.
Aliens or the Earth, Mother Earth threw us off the planet. That was a big one.
Santa Fe. Oh, there you go. Yes.
There was all kinds of things. But the reality is that what are we watching for? As we come to the end of the show, the end of this year, the next major prophetic event is Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia and Iran coming against them. Libya joining in, Turkey joining in. And what's interesting is that in the news, Greg, again this week, Turkey is becoming more of an enemy to Israel.
Yes.
Israel
very
today,
much so.
Turkey rapidly becoming Israel's next enemy. And it talks about how they're working with the terrorists to bring them out. Another one here from Israel National News. Erdogan, that's the president of Turkey, allowing Hamas to plan attacks on Israel. And I saw this article just again today. I think it was this week, maybe again today. They're now linking up more with Libya. You know, Libya's got that civil war that's been going ever since Gaddafi was removed. They've never been settled.
Well,
Turkey now is linking up with one of the sides there, and they're getting very involved militarily and politically in Libya. So now you see the strong link between Turkey and Libya. Turkey now linking up with Russia and Iran, actually doing war games with them. I was reading they're linking up with them.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, so everybody that listened, the major players, Greg, they're all forming, and the ones that are not major players are left out, like Egypt and Saudi Arabia and all these. So the stage is set. It's only the right moment, the right thing to kick it in. Israel may have to move on Iran soon. That may be what pushes the envelope, because they're going to have to deal with their nuclear stuff, because America and no one else is. So this is kind of the year in review and seeing all that happen. But remember, the next thing we're watching for, obviously, is Jesus Christ at any moment. And secondly, it is the battle there in the Middle East with Russia and Iran and Israel.
Yeah. And Isaiah 17:1 for good measure, because that's another prophetic event.
It's going to be linked to all that as well.
And that could be, and Isaiah 17:1 could be the grenade for Ezekiel 38 and 39. We just don't know. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't too long ago, Pastor Mark, we couldn't understand exactly how Iran was going to be in a military position in order to participate in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And now look at where Iran is.
Yeah.
They're inside Syria.
That's right.
Building military bases.
That's right. That's right. And 17:1 is the destruction of Damascus, Greg, that you were talking
about.
Isaiah 17:1, so our listeners might know what that is. But so here's the bottom line, guys. Continue to pray. Pray for Israel, the peace of Israel and Jerusalem. God's plan will come to pass. He will not be thwarted. Don't panic because of these things you hear that are coming. Jesus told us these things, and the Bible tells us, so we won't panic. No, we are to rejoice. We see God bringing his plan to fruition. The enemy will be defeated. He will have a temporary apparent victory. We'll be taken out of here in the rapture, and then Jesus comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. If you don't know Jesus, confess your sin today. Believe he died for you on the cross and rose again 3 days later. Put your faith in him. Tell him that in prayer. Pour out your heart. You will be saved, and you will join us in the rapture and the wedding supper of the Lamb very soon in the kingdom of God. Hope to see you there.
Yes. Thank you, Pastor Mark. And folks, thanks for listening for another 2019. Don't forget our website, thesigns.org, for everything about our program, including sending Pastor Mark a prophecy question. Have a great rest of 2019, and we'll see you back here in 2020. Follow the signs.